I want to preach today on finding significance. A preacher said, a life that lacks a significance, life of vain pursuits. That was me. All right. People are always asking that same old, age-old questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And if we don't really find them, we just kind of make up answers. People go to great lengths to find significance. I don't know if you've ever looked at the Guinness Book of World Records. Last time I probably looked at that book was when I was a kid. And it was just kind of fascinating to go through there and kind of see all the weird things that people do to get their names in the world records. I'm going to give you a few here today. And I don't even know how to pronounce some of their names, but Boliminin Sobat. He was that individual who held his breath for 24 minutes and 37.36 seconds. I got to thinking he probably got away with a lot from his parents. You know how kids hold their breath until you do something? That'd be kind of scary. My kid did it. Michael Lotito consumed 2 pounds of metal a day from 1959 to 2007. Since 1966, he ate 18 bicycles, 15 shopping carts, 7 TV sets, 6 chandeliers, 2 beds, 6 pairs of skis, a Cessna light aircraft, and 1 computer. You talk about not having iron deficiency. Amen. And what's weird is he died of natural causes. Charles Osborne had the longest stretch of hiccups from 1922 to 1990. And he lived with 2 wives and through 8 children. Could you imagine living with him? It's enough already, right? That's okay. Stop, move on. Roy Sullivan, he was struck by lightning 7 times, which means he went to church 7 times. You know what I'm talking about, right? People say yes. An average lightning bolt contains 300 million volts, or 30,000 amps. And it only takes 50-plus volts to kill you. And he has been struck by 7 times. And the thing was, he died by suicide because no one wanted to be around him. No, he was rejected in love. He was rejected in love. So I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't want to date him either. I wouldn't even want to be his friend and hang out with him. Joey Chestnut. 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. For those that count their calories, that's 20,000 calories plus. He ate a hot dog every 8.5 seconds. And he was asked, why in the world would you do this? He says, I like hot dogs. He said, it is my mission in life to eat more hot dogs and chicken wings than anyone else. He also said, this is what gives me significance. That's kind of a pretty low bar, isn't it? My thoughts are whatever on all these, right? So what gives you and me significance? And that's what we're kind of look at. We're going to look at Paul here in a few seconds. What is our mission? So let me begin by defining significance. It's the quality of being worthy of attention, importance. And I want to add a word here. It's our influence that we have on other people. How many know that? 3 important questions that I came up with as I was preparing this to take into account when we are considering significance. Number 1, what does significance look like for you personally? That is something you have to determine for yourself. What does that look like for you here this morning? What's the goal? What's the mission of your life? And how do you achieve that? How do you measure that? How do you know you acquired that? Secondly, what sacrifices must be made to achieve that significance? And 3, are we looking for outward accolades or inward contentment? You know, there are those who love to be up front. There are those who are on the front lines. And there are those that are behind the scenes. And the truth is, a lot of times, those who are in the front life, they begin to depend upon the applause, the accolades, to continue on. And I think those that work behind the scenes may be the happier of the two. Because what we're trying to do is please the audience of one and not the crowd. Significance is based on connection and influence on others. Church, we don't live in a void. When he created man, he said, what? It is not good for him to be alone. And I'm going to tell you right now, as believers today, it is not good for us to be alone. That we are called to be with people. None of us will remember Joey Chestnut, Roy Sullivan, or Charlie Osborne. In fact, if I asked you, I just read it, what did they do? Probably most of you couldn't remember what they did. Their claim to fame does not influence us one way or the other. Their significance is just entertainment and soon will be forgotten. Their perspective on significance needs to be modified. And maybe here this morning, ours needs to be modified as well. Have you ever heard of the Apostle Paul? Most of us have. Not only millions, but billions have heard of his name and their lives have been impacted. Paul's plans were changed by his encounter with Jesus Christ. And if Paul continued on his trajectory for his life the way he planned it, no one would know Paul today. How many know and how many remember Paul, the name of Paul's teacher? Anybody know? All right. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Gamaliel was his teacher. We don't know his teacher, but we do know the Apostle Paul because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Paul found significance in his life by surrendering his life to Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at Paul's path to significance. We're going to look in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And we gain significance by three different ways. We're born into it, right? Royalty, right? You remember Princess Diana and Charles, the big thing years ago about their wedding? I mean, people were staying up in the middle of the night to watch that wedding. There are those who have gained family names. They're born into it. There are those things are handed off to them, their inheritance. When I was in my first pastorate here, when I got back to Pennsylvania, there was a funeral director in the town that we were in, and he had multiple homes, just like the Hiles has multiple funeral homes. And his purpose, his desire, was to be able to pass that on to his children. And unfortunately, none of his two kids wanted the funeral home. But for some of us, some of the things that we gain, our significance is handed off to us. And lastly, we work for it. We earn it. And this is where a majority of people are. They start from scratch and they build something for themselves. So we're going to look at Paul here today, and we're going to look at what Paul was pursuing before Jesus got a hold of his life. It says there in Philippians 3, verse 4, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. And I believe one of Paul's problems was he was probably a little egotistic. Amen? And so that was something that Jesus Christ broke in him, but he brags. He says here, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. So Paul found significance in his heritage and what he could achieve. In fact, if you remember what I said, he born into it, handed off, worked for it. Paul probably fit every one of those circumstances. But Jesus came along and he warned us and said, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And folks, we need to be careful when it comes down to our own pursuits. Are we doing and living the life that we want or the life that Jesus Christ has created us to live? There is no difference between Paul's pursuits and eating hot dogs or metal or being a lightning rod or living decades with hiccups. There is no difference. Romans 14:12 reminds us, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Hallelujah. All of us have a resume, right? We all have a resume. Let's call it a testimony. All of us have a testimony. And if you've ever gone for a job or tried to enter a school or whatever, there is a resume that you have to write. And the purpose of that resume is you're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to get them to get to know you and to see what your accomplishes are. Paul tried to sell himself as someone worthy of significance. And we read it here. All the things that he could have bragged about. All the things that probably at one point in his life he did brag about. And so this was his resume. And resumes are about how we present ourselves to others. And some of us need our resumes rewritten. I had an interview one time. I had a friend help me write a resume for me. And I went to a church. And as I put down his suggestions in my resume, and when they asked me about questions that he had put in my resume, I couldn't answer them. He put me on the spot. And so from that point on, I wrote my own resumes. I did my own resumes. And so some of us need our resumes rewritten. Instead of beginning with us, it needs to begin with Jesus. A testimony is simply the life that you lived, how you met Jesus Christ, and what your life was different after you met Jesus Christ. Paul tells us here, the pre-Jesus. He tells us, this is what I did. This is my resume. This is what I was trying to accomplish. And so we continue on in Philippians chapter 3. And we see the source of significance. Encountering Jesus changed the direction of Paul's life. We know the story there in Acts of him meeting Jesus on the road of Damascus. And let's begin at verse 7. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. What we just talked about, those things that he thought were essential in getting ahead, having significance. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And look what he says. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded what? Everything else. Counting it as garbage. You got to love the King James. Gets to the point. What's it say? Dung. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. The Bible never implies that we find Jesus Christ, that we find God. If we read Jesus' parables, he tells us, we read the story in Luke chapter 15 of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And if you read there in the story of the prodigal son, we see here in chapter 15, verse 24, he says, for this son of mine, because we know that what? He was feeding the pigs. And the Bible says he came to his senses. He remembered his home. He knew that it would be better to live there than where he was now. And we read this in verse 24, for this son of mine, after he comes home, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was what? Lost, but now he is found. Because we can interpret that the son made a decision, right, to go home. But we also need to realize that it is God that finds us. Verse 32, it's repeated. We had to celebrate this happy day. He's talking to the older brother. For your brother was dead and has come home to life. He was lost, but now he is found. We read parables about finding a treasure in a field. We read a parable about a pearl of great price. That when a man found these things, what did he do? He sold all that he had, gave all that he had, what? So that he could have those treasures. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. We are that lost treasure. We are that pearl of great price. I think it is important to note that we are significant enough for Jesus to have died for us. We are that significant. If we are that significant, why not put that significance to work for him? Paul wrote in verse 10 and 11, I'm going to repeat it, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer. How many want to claim that one? I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that the one or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't think anyone's going to live a significant life until they know, experience, suffer, and share life with Jesus Christ. This was Paul's qualifier for significance. It was entirely wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus qualified this by saying in Luke chapter 9, 23, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way or put away your selfish ambition, take up your cross daily, and follow me. As Paul said, it's because of what Christ has done. Not because of what I've accomplished, but it's because of what Jesus has done in me. So the question is here this morning, what's our end game? We can have significance for the moment by doing it our way, or we can have it for eternity as we surrender and pursue Jesus Christ. So the last one is the reality of significance. The pursuit of significance is a lifelong pursuit. It's not just a season in our life. We don't retire from it. It's something we continue to do. And you've got to realize that Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing this. He says, I don't mean to say to you that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The reality of significance is not something we experience naturally. When we came to Jesus Christ, it came as a package deal. We were adopted into the family of Christ. We were given a calling, and we were equipped with everything we need. We've all been given a good start on the road to perfection. And that word perfection is kind of a hard word to digest for all of us. But that word perfection means maturity, it means wholeness, it means completeness. We are responsible to pursue perfection. Paul's pursuit of significance was centered on Christ. He said, I press on to possess that perfection. Forgetting the past, forgetting his resume, looking forward to what lies ahead. I focus on to reach the end of the race. It's about winning. It's about getting across that line. It's about being faithful. Our goal is not to have our names written in the Guinness Book of World Records, but the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Finding significance is important. It is. We live in troubling times. We live in times of distraction. As we look in our world, we were praying for change, but how many know what change comes through? It comes through people. It comes through people that are going to walk in the significant calling that God has placed upon their life. We can't sit on the sidelines and just say, well, it's somebody else's job. It's not. Paul didn't sit on the sidelines. He was sidelined for a period of time until he got his act together. after he met Jesus. But after that, it was full throttle ahead. So it comes back to those questions. What does significance look like for you personally? What is your life mission? What is your goal? Where are you heading? Do you have a mission statement for your life? Do you have a purpose? Do you have a plan? Some of us are getting closer to the end than the from the beginning. But how many know that God's not finished, Gloria, right? I don't know about you, Gloria has slowed down a little bit, but she's involved in a lot of things. She is. And we appreciate, even at her young age, her involvement in all the different things that she's involved with. She's not finished. She's still running the race. She's still pursuing perfection. Are you looking for outward accolades or inward contentment, knowing that you are walking according to design for your life? You're designed for something. It might be a van driver. What are you willing to give up to achieve the significance that God has ordained for you? Right? What are you willing to give up? What's so valuable that you can't give up? Your time, your finances, your talent. Folks, we're heading towards the end of the race. Our world is reeling and shaking. And folks, we need to change our corner of the world, where we live. So I encourage you, as we talked about, Paul pursued significance. We can pursue significance. But what's our motivation? What are we pursuing? There's a source of significance. It comes from Jesus Christ. Our identity is in him. And there is that reality that once we begin the race, we got to finish the race. There's no vacations from it. There's no seasons where we take off. But we consistently push through. If you'll come, we'll just close with prayer here today. Paul found his significance when he surrendered to Christ. And today, I just want to encourage you today that our significance is in him. What are you building here on earth? What is it that you can take to heaven with you? That's the question we need to ask. Heaven and earth will pass away, right? Our achievements, everything that we earned, everything that we worked for, unless it's eternal, will pass away. They will mean nothing. The thing for some of you maybe in this room is not to confuse significance with busyness. Find the one thing that you do well and do that one thing well. Do that one thing well. Father, we come to you today and we realize and we look at the life of Paul. He started out on the wrong foot. He started with a pursuit of finding significance in life and the approval of others. He was pushing forward to be a Pharisee. He wanted people to know who he was. But Father, that's not the significance that you've called us to here today. Our lives are to be hidden in you alone. And Lord, you said if we humble ourselves, you will exalt us. Meaning, God, that if we serve you with pure motives, that there may be a day that you lift us up, promote us. But Lord, we come to that place where we say, we want you to promote us. We don't want to seek that promotion, but we seek you. And we want to be found faithful. God, we want to live in that reality of perfection. Lord, we want to grow up. And even in prison, Paul is saying there that I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. I pray here this morning that we can look at our own selves and say, Lord, recognize we're not there. We haven't achieved it. We're still pressing forward. We're still reaching out. Help it to be our focus this morning. Father, I pray here today that we might make a new commitment to you. September is always a good time to restart. It's a time of getting back into the school season and life changes and gets on track and we live by schedules. I pray, Lord, that we don't leave you out. But Lord, as we go into this September, we kind of begin to plan. Plan around having you in our lives, where we plan those times we spend with you, those times, Lord, we're in church, those times that we minister in behalf of you. Yeah, it's a busy time, but Lord, it's not a time where we forget who you are and put you on the back burner, but it's a time, Lord, to allow you to come forefront in our lives. Because, Lord, in our busyness, Lord, we need you more than ever. We need your strength, we need your help. And Father, we're asking today for this body, Lord, of believers, God, to realize, God, that we're on a journey individually, but we're also on a journey together. God, there is a harvest that is white. And today we pray for the Lord of the harvest to speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, guide us in the way that you want us to do. Lord, help us to some may need to drop some things off and kind of center on one or two things rather than five. But maybe you're here today and just kind of sitting on the sideline, and maybe it's time to step up and say, hey, I need to serve in a particular place. I need to find my place of significance where my life is touching the lives and influencing the lives of others. That's where we come today, Father. That's the challenge that sits before us today. Lord, you called all of us to be part of the Great Commission in one aspect or the other, and we just pray, Father God, show us how we fit into that plan, your plan. Lord, we come today, we ask forgiveness, Lord, for maybe not pursuing the perfection, pursuing that relationship, making that relationship a priority. But today, God, we renew that. And we say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, we just close the service out. Lord, I just pray a blessing upon your people here today. If you're here today, and as we close out, and if there's specific prayer that you would like to have this morning, we'd love to pray with you. We always want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you need to make things right with Jesus Christ, we'd love to pray with you here this morning. Just give you a few moments here this morning. If you want some prayer, we'll have some people gather around you this morning and pray and believe with you. Anybody? Okay. Father, as we go this week, Father, we have some things on our schedule. Father, we have food banks coming up, Lord. We're kicking off our dinner church this week, Lord, with the community. And Lord, we're just praying again for these things to take place, the blessings, Lord, your hand to be upon them. Lord, we're excited about the people involved in these ministries, and we're just praying, Father, as we move forward, Father God, that you'll give us favor in our community, Father, that you'll give us favor with those that you bring to us and those that we're reaching out to. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Food bank this Thursday, as we prayed, we're kicking off, so I just encourage you to pray with us as we are going to reach out to some of our members of our community, and we don't know what to expect, but it is a step of faith, and we're just believing that people are going to respond. Amen. Amen.